Welcome. This is Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. You're listening to Live Financial Talk Radio. Join the conversation. Start the conversation. 504-260-0995. Let us hear your retirement story.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, you're going to learn a few things that will make you better with your money. We're going to, Gregory finished up the list yesterday on 10 mistakes to avoid when inheriting an IRA. And when we were doing part of that segment on Saturday's show, we had a couple of good calls where people were picking into some of the nuance of what Gregory was saying. We're going to revisit one of those calls. Also, four benefits of a Roth IRA. 504-260-0995. I want to start, though, with just a quick overview here of Bernie Sanders. He is sort of the anti-politician. You got to give him credit where credit's due. He's technically an independent. He hasn't really joined either party. And he obviously sticks by his ideals, whether or not they're popular. And he's got a pretty enthusiastic following for it. But he's also the anti-politician. And when I look at Bernie Sanders, I'm telling you to do what he said. No, do what he does, not what he says. And that's the opposite of most politicians. You know, do what I do, not what I say. You know, that's the old parental humor there. But Bernie Sanders, for the second year in a row, has earned over $1 million in income, and I like what I see in all this. This is some smart financial stuff that we can learn from the guy. You know how he did it? Income streams. Different income streams. Okay, so a big chunk of it came from a book advance, but he had book residuals from a book that was released in 2016, and he's had like six different book deals going all the way back to the early 90s. So there's income stream coming there. He gets royalties. I don't know how this works, but it's a spoken word folk music album that he was a part of in the 90s. So he gets royalties from that. He still gets a pension, albeit small, but it's regular and it's there from the city of Burlington, stemming back to the days like three decades ago when he was mayor there for a couple terms. So he still gets a little check from them. He gets a Senate salary, obviously, but he's going to be putting out another book at the end of this year. Which will mean what? More income, and it keeps coming. It's not a one-time thing. There's going to be some residual income after that. So when we spell all that out, by the time he retires, he's going to add in another stream of income that's going to be his Senate pension. And I believe, do they still qualify for Social Security, or are they in the windfall elimination provision? That I don't know. But this guy might have as many as eight different income streams. And so on top of that...
doesn't matter on the one. They keep getting a check from now on.
I'm just saying, does he get Social Security too?
I don't know, but his check, their check pension, never ends.
The pension will more than cover it, I'm sure.
It's a lot more than Social Security.
But I like what I see here. I like what he's done here. He has three residences, which sounds ha-ha. You can make some jokes. The socialist has three houses, ha-ha. But, I mean, it's not that insane. He has a house in Vermont, a house in D.C. That makes sense for a senator. And him and his wife got a $500,000 lake house on Lake Champlain, but they put it in a trust. It's called the Islands Family Trust. He's a co-trustee on that. So he's doing some smart things and taking advantage of some trust work there. There's going to be some nice tax advantages and his estate planning work that he's done. And, boy, if the guy ran for office talking about all this, he'd be a lot more likely to get some capitalist pig votes out there. But I like this guy. I like what I just read, and I like the six up to eight streams of income that he has set up for himself.
Multiple streams of income is where it's at.
So he finally gets up
to this. How many streams do you have? That's what you need to think. Ask yourself, how many streams do I have?
And even if he picked up his feet and stopped working today, he doesn't have to worry about it. He's going to go to his mailbox at the end of the month, and there's going to be money there from multiple sources. And a big fat round of applause for that. It's good to say something nice about all these guys. You know, politics has gotten so ugly. That was it. That was all I had on the Bernie Sanders thing.
Yeah, it's out of hand. And back in the day, dueling. Was that when it got a little chippy as well back in the day?
Can we bring that back?
It'd be ugly. They're all, if I, was, let's see, how many people would Maxine Waters be choosing to duel? She seems a little amped up.
I don't think she would accept. The fun part is, though, yeah, you
be
have
careful to, who you challenge.
All right, you'd have to. It would have to be a voluntary, participation in the dueling. But that was actually a practice of the elites more so than the lower classes. Alexander Hamilton died because he got in a duel with who? The Vice President of the United States. Yeah, I think that would cause a
and
lot.
And then if well, you killed him. Well, he asked for a duel. Oh, okay. It's fine then. Go on home.
Mm-hmm.
We'll clean up the mess.
Yeah, well, you know, if he agreed to it, then I guess you're off the hook.
But you know, it's kind of funny. Well, he asked for a duel, and the vice president in that case said, yeah, come get you some of this. Could you imagine today's language? Oh, you want some of me? Come on. Let's go right now. Front lawn, Pennsylvania Avenue.
Maybe you need to be on a political show because your answer for the screeching public discourse is bring back dueling. And it makes sense.
Well, I'm just saying with the way they're behaving, now they're going to follow you around at restaurants and jeer you and stuff. Well, if you're that upset, it's scary. Or it's going to. Look, the dueling world was kind of scary, too. You get a little worked up. Next thing you know, you're getting buried, you know. It's like, calm down.
Mm-hmm.
You get the vote in the fall, and what, 2 more years? You have another run at the top office. See how that goes for your guy next time. Look. I don't know how you follow this president. Not getting political or anything, because this show isn't that. But this guy, what are you going to do? Be quiet? Not get much done? Don't share what's on your mind? Take a walk down the driveway and have a conversation with all the reporters in the area? And they keep asking, you keep answering. You know, how do you follow this guy? Because none of them before is like him. And he's always, well, we got to change this deal. We're going to fix this. We're going to do this. I'm just asking, how do you follow this? Be careful who you choose.
Well, if by the end of his reign.
Not saying he's right or wrong on anything. Just, gosh, how do you follow that? It's kind of like following Tony Robbins on stage.
Didn't you do that?
No.
Oh, you opened for him.
I spoke before he did, and listening to him for a couple hours, and that guy doesn't stop, slow down. He hardly takes a breath. He's on. I'm thinking, my gosh, I'm so glad I spoke before he did, because it's be such a letdown afterwards. So that's just kind of my point, is this guy's talked about. If anything, you know, if he was a secret to some people, and you think of it from a marketing standpoint, who does not know who he is? You know, you might not have followed business, read business books, followed real estate. Oh, he's just another rich guy. And you know, oh yeah, I heard he had a TV show, but I don't know anything about him. Or it might be, what? The guy on TV that fires me. I don't watch TV. I don't know who he is. Everybody knows who he is.
And they knew before he was president.
Yeah, but from a marketing standpoint, this ultimate exposure, who would run against him that everybody knows who he is?
Bring back Bernie Sanders?
He had
the enthusiasm.
That's the only one I could think of that would be that well known and held favor. You know, he held favor because he gave Hillary a run, and yeah, everybody knew what she did, but she can't win next time. Anyhow, but I'm just saying, from a marketing standpoint, you want to be well known. Zuckerberg, you know what, second, third richest guy on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people know who, but I bet you go ask a lot of people that are on Facebook, do you know who created this, who founded it? You know, if you ask them a few questions, I'd say a lot don't know.
Right.
But I don't know who did this, but you know, I like it.
All right. Well,
just a thought.
No, hey, and look, on that note, here's a statistic that we would be talking about more if we weren't consumed with such petty things in the news, like who got kicked out of a restaurant. But over $300 billion, this is in American dollars, over $300 billion was repatriated into the United States in the first quarter, according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis. And this is by far the most on record that we have ever repatriated in one quarter. Just to give you an idea, the proper comparison would be this exact same period a year ago. So what did we repatriate in the first quarter of 2017? $38 billion. It's almost one-tenth. So it went from $38 billion last year to $300 billion this year. And this is one of the things that a lot of economists are pointing at when they're like, I know that first quarter GDP wasn't blockbuster, but I still believe we can get up to 4% on an annual basis because they're expecting this to come down, start churning around, and be its own little mini stimulus. But how is $300 billion being brought overseas and just dropped into the American economy almost unreported in the news?
How?
I guess that is a rhetorical question, right? They don't really want to get into that. They don't like the news. It doesn't fit. And it's not sensational, and it's not sexy, and it's not cool. And there's no kids involved, and there's no harrowing pictures that tug at your heartstrings. It's just numbers on a spreadsheet, unless you're the guy that gets the job out of it. If you have a financial situation and you are not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, Hall of Fame Financial Advisor. Would love to take your question, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. We do this everyday wrap, the daily wrap. Every evening, 7 o'clock, you want to talk about money, listen to some tips, find out how complicated inherited IRAs are. We've covered that Saturday and yesterday. Yeah, it's like ridiculous. And I've got so much more. There's topics we're covering in the near future regarding IRA trusts, prohibited transactions. Should you buy a franchise with your IRA, self-directed IRAs, all the flaws and problems that come up? See, it just doesn't end. But if you'd like to talk about something like your mutual fund, Social Security, that pension lump sum, why somebody might hate annuities, why might somebody use annuities, or you might want to ask me some of the 100 things you probably don't know about annuities, I can do that as well. 504-260-0995. Download the Winning at Life app. You can text us, email us, call us from the screen. There's a picture page. There's a dashboard. Oh, podcasts galore. Just go to your app store and type in Winning at Life, free download. You can tip if you want to, but we don't even have a box for that. So just download it and enjoy it.
4 side benefits of a Roth IRA is one I want to bring up. Now, on the basics, the Roth IRA is in some ways the opposite of a regular IRA or a 401k, in that in regular IRAs, traditional IRAs, you put in money pre-tax, it grows tax deferred, and you have to pay taxes when it's distributed to you. In a Roth IRA, you pay the taxes on the money first, then you put it in a Roth IRA, and then it grows without a tax bite, and then you can take it out without a tax bite as well. All right, so that's the above water benefits of a Roth IRA, but I'm going to go underwater and look at some of these overlooked benefits. Number one, the ability to use it as an emergency fund. something you can't really do as easily with an IRA, a regular IRA. Yeah, so it, you know, just like you would say $5,000 in an account down at the bank, and you always have it, and it's not susceptible to risk, and if you want to go get it, you can go get it without having to pay taxes on it. But the problem with a regular savings account is the interest rates stink so bad right now. So even if you use one of these high-yield online banks, you're probably not keeping up with inflation even. But a Roth IRA can be used sort of in a similar fashion. Why is this? Your contributions will grow tax-free. You can withdraw your tax your contributions at any time. Tax-free. However, there's going to be some stipulations with it. You know it's not that easy, Gregory. Because you can't take out everything and avoid the tax hit. You can only take out the amount you contributed for emergencies. So if your emergency is your air conditioner went out and you need $3,000, but you put $1,000 into your Roth IRA, even if you have enough growth in there to get to the $3,000, you can only take out $1,000 of those earnings without paying a penalty. So there's a little bit of back and forth there. It's not quite as cut and dry, but it could be, maybe, another way to have an emergency fund. Number two, the Roth IRA has some benefits. If you're a first-time home buyer, you can use money in the Roth IRA to help with your down payment. And this is a little different than the emergency fund scenario, because if it's for the first-time home buying situation, you can take out both contributions and earnings tax-free. However, the Roth has to have been open for at least 5 years. So if you're in the process of buying a house, you can't set up a Roth and make this happen. Second, you can only take out of up to $10,000 in those investment earnings tax-free. So if you're using the Roth as your emergency fund, you can withdraw any amount of the contributions you want. And it's like that for the home buying, but the earnings are capped at $10,000. So if you save $25,000 in your Roth, you have $10,000 in earnings, you could take out the entire amount. You could take out $35,000 out of that scenario tax-free if you're a first-time home buyer. All right, we're going to cover a couple other advantages, the ability to pass it on to your heirs, tax advantage, and you can use it for higher education, and it's better some other accounts for higher education. First, I want to hit pause on this. We're going to go to Dan in Mandeville. You're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. Hey, Dan, how can we help you, sir?
How you doing? I have a question about my home. I've paid it down halfway. I want to refinance it and possibly purchase a multifamily home for an investment. What do you think about that?
Run the scenario one more time.
My house, I paid down the mortgage halfway.
Okay.
I want to refinance my home, take out a second mortgage on my home or refinance it up to the maximum amount, take the equity that I've gained and put it towards a multifamily. What do you think about that? Is that a good idea?
Yeah, you're leveraging. You're using right. money to finance the next property. A lot of people start building their real estate legacy that way by using money from the first property to get to the second, then on to the third and fourth. And you are putting your primary property at risk, though. Your residence has some risk exposure there, and you need to make sure you're comfortable with that. And think about what if things go wrong, how might that affect you? That's what you got to think about, is what can go wrong and how would I do that, such as a tenant trashing the rental property, rental property getting flooded, it burns down, you have trouble renting it. You know, just those things. You have to start thinking about make sure you keep a cushion, emergency fund that's adequate.
You lose your day job.
There. And, of course, you can think about all the great things that's going to come out of it, that it leads to your empire might be one of them. It might lead to a third or fourth. Worst case, you get this one paid for and it's cash flow property. That's what you're looking for. And it falls into my philosophy of multiple streams of income. That can be another stream of income. Can you build another one behind it, along with your 401k and Roth and pension and Social Security. It gets in the mix with all those things. So,
you feel like being a landlord, Dan?
Sure. I already own one property. I own one single family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's already paid off. So that's just the cash cow right there.
Yeah. So that's what you're trying to do. But if you're using your residence, just think things through. Be careful. Have some cash flow. You have some equity in another rental property. So sounds like you've got to start. Be careful, of course.
Thanks for calling, Dan.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And I like that he didn't wince. There's no hesitation when I said, you want to be a landlord?
Yeah, sure.
Because there's a lot of people like, I don't know if I want to be getting the toilet call at 2 in the morning. Something's overflowing.
Well, that's like starting a business and not wanting to work in the business.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta spend some time in the business, probably a lot of time, before you start handing off those other hats. Going back to this Roth, look, it was just a thought. When you kind of talk about it building and Roth grows tax-deferred, grows tax-free essentially once you get beyond the 5 years, and it comes out tax-free. So just think about it. If you versus a tax account, just say 4%. On a Roth, take a hundred. If you've reached, just say you've reached 100,000 to look at. Cause look, we can say 10,000, but you're not kicking out any income or anything with that.
Right.
If you've got 10,000 Roth, what you go get 100,000. Well, that's going to take a while. Yeah, that's kind of where the magic is when it gets bigger. And yeah, it's going to take some time. It'd help if you could throw more money at it, or maybe do some strategic conversions of IRAs. You know, there's a tax bite to that. So you got to be careful, get advice, use a CPA, make sure, because you can't recharacterize. Once you do it, you do it. But here's the point. 100,000, 10 years at 4% return, hypothetically, reasonable expectation. Okay, you've got $148,000. Well, if you're taking a 4% income from it, that's about $5,600 a year. How much taxes are you paying on that?
Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, that's right. It's a Roth. If it wasn't a Roth, it's going to fall into your tax bracket. And yeah, you could take $5,600, but you're not keeping all that. You know, if you're giving up a third, you're giving up, probably $1,800 to $2,000. Maybe a little less, maybe a little more, but it's a big difference when you're keeping the $5,600. It actually, it doesn't affect your AGI. Why? They don't ask for it for any place on the 1040. Like that. You need tax-free income in the mix.
And that was before they did this silly postcard thing. I heard not good things. I haven't seen it with my own eyes, but I'm told it looks a little silly. So I'm look. Have you seen it yet?
No.
I just saw someone who saw it and reported on it. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to that though. All right. We'll give you a couple more advantages with the Roth IRA. It's our favorite flavor of Kool-Aid. Mine used to be grape, but ever since I've come across Gregory Ricks, it's now Roth. It's my favorite flavor.
Some good Roth wine too, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We'll have to uncork some of that in the next segment. We'll talk about using it for higher education and for estate planning. You know, pass it along to your heirs. They'll like it better, too. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you can do what Dan just did. Call Gregory, 504-260-0995, or you can send us a text or call from the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. This is the Daily Wrap, 504-260-0995. We can talk about your money, pension, mutual funds, Social Security, where are you on the path, risk, volatility, what's going on in the market. What about saving some money? 504-260-0995. Download the Winning at Life. Just go to your app store and type in Winning at Life. What if you woke up one day and said, gosh, I
I really need to get my act together. He might be job searching too. Might be tired of that J-O-B that you're in. But also in the back of your mind, it's, yeah, I've got to get my act together. I've got to save some money for the future. I've got to make up time, and I've just not focused on it. Let's say you're in the job search situation. You know where you should be looking? One of the questions, you apply, and they check back with you, and just you might throw out there just real quick, hey, by the way, I'm just checking in on you guys. Do you guys have a 401k? Yeah, we do. How much do you match? Well, we match 100% up to 4%. If you put in 4, we'll put in 4 for you. Okay. Are you wanting to interview me? Okay. What if the conversation goes the other way? Sorry. We don't have a 401k. I'm not interested. And you hang up. Because what do you need? You need to find somebody that's got a 401k that does some matching. What you need is some help, meaning you're getting 100% return on what you put in up to 4%. And you can put more in. You know, we're talking about starting to, how do we start catching up? And hopefully you're getting a job that pays more. Okay. If you're not, you're already at the job. You're not participating in 401k. You need to kick it up. You should always be getting your match. If it's free, it's for me. It should be your philosophy. You're going to match me? Well, darn sure I'm putting in enough for that. If you're behind, then you probably should be putting in more. Why? It's pre-tax money. Yeah, it reduces your taxes. So in a way, that's helping you put money into that 401k. Now that you've got the 401k, you've got money going into it, you've got a match going into it. Hey, if you're working at a job that doesn't have that, maybe you want to put out some resumes. You're needing help. Okay, so you're at the new job. You've gotten a raise. Now you're putting money in the 401k. They're matching it. Outside of that, well, can I do more? Yes, you can do more. You can put money into an IRA. You can put money into a Roth outside of your 401k. You can do after-tax savings. You need to create emergency savings. You might need to cut the cable bill in half so that you can have cable in retirement. You may need to pack that lunch. Geez, if you smoke, you could probably be putting away hundreds a month. And guess what? Your health is going to be so much better for it.
You can just go stand in front of an exhaust pipe if you need the same effect.
Yeah, just a thought there. Now, I know you smokers are a small percentage, but think about it. What? There could be a better use for that money, you know? Oh, I go to the casino once a month. Well, quit doing that. Save the money. We know how the casino was built by people leaving it there. You know, maybe skip dining out. Reduce it a little bit. Drive that car an extra year or two or three or four or 10 years. You've got to look at how to put away more money. And all these things come into the mix. Oh, second job. Sure, there's something you can do. You enjoy, you like making coffee? I know there's coffee stores all around that pay. Just think about what can you do that's a little extra that could mean a couple more $100 a month to put away.
All right, 504-260-0995. I have two more overlooked benefits of a Roth IRA. Number three here is for higher education. You can use that Roth IRA to pay for qualified educational expenses. But why would you?
For yours, your kids, your grandkids.
And there was a term for that. Is that direct descendant? So it can't be like a niece or a nephew. It has to be like child or grandchild, or, you know, if you had to.
Well, that is direct descendants.
But like not a niece, not a cousin. That's
not a direct descendant.
I was just asking. But why would you want to use a Roth IRA over a 529 plan to pay for college.
Because you keep control of the money if it's not needed or if there's money left over. It's your money.
Yeah, and if you don't use it for college in that 529 plan, you take it out, it gets taxed as ordinary income, 10% penalty on top of that.
Yeah.
But another great option with that Roth IRA is you can go ahead and set one up for not just yourself, but you can set one up for your child, any income your child earns. You can start shoveling some of that.
Well, remember, the child needs some earned income, though.
Yeah, good addition there. But the last one, though, we start to look more at the estate planning aside, and it's just a nice, clean way to pass along money to your heirs. So if you have a $500,000 in your Roth IRA and you don't need the money, you can name your grandchild's a beneficiary. When you pass away, they inherit the money, and nothing weird happens. Because, you know, if you have a traditional IRA or 401k, you have to start taking required minimum distributions, so you can't necessarily let it just grow into perpetuity. And then if you do pass these accounts along to your heirs, they're required to start taking distributions from the accounts or maybe delay it, and they have to take RMDs on their record. Either way, IRS forces you to take distributions, so you know, they got to get their taxes there. So, you know, a lot of people are quite familiar with the baseline advantages of a Roth. You know, after-tax money grows tax-free, comes out tax-free. But there's four little things that are under the surface about Roth IRAs that make them just a little bit more attractive. Numbers. You ready?
Yep.
The numbers.
Welcome to the numbers segment. This is where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world today, and it is quite different than yesterday. People were running around like Chicken Little. All of our indices were down. There was red all over the short sheet, and you can look at
blood in the streets. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, streets were flowing with blood yesterday. You look at the exact same charts and graphs that we're looking at, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. All four of our major, or five of our major indices are in the positive. The Dow Jones is up 0.1%, S&P up 0.2%, NASDAQ up 0.4%, Russell 2000 up 0.65%, and the Wilshire 5000, the broadest index of all, still up 0.3%. So it is green all the way around. Happy days are here again.
10-year treasuries flat. 2.883%. Crude oil took a leap today. Looks like somebody might be cutting Iran back, was the talk this morning. Possible sanctions coming their way. $70.66 is what it closed at. Brent crude moved above its range. It closed at $76.55.
Well, it took a big jump too. Well, look, they're starting to test those highs, those, what was that, 4-year highs that we just barely touched on toward the end of May.
We started the year out at about $59.40 a barrel, and now it's $70.66. A year ago, we were at $46.61. Want to go back a little further? Okay. 3 years ago, we were at $64.57. Gosh, no matter how you look at it, we're higher today. Today, that is. Doesn't mean it'll stay there. Doesn't mean it'll go any higher, but that's where we are. Oh, well, we can talk about gold.
Well, it's kind of doing the opposite of oil. We have our two major commodities going not in tandem, but in opposition.
Yeah, gold's down. $1,260.50. Silver, $16.27.
Well, the concern that I see is that when you look at the short sheet and you scroll down past the chart there to the first Dow Jones, the little candlestick graph, and if you count it up, out of the last 11 trading days, the Dow lost on 9 of them. The Dow was red on 9 of them. So it broke it up with a couple of green days in there, but it is definitely starting a new trend that I do not like. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995.
I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. This is the Daily Wrap, 7 o'clock to 8. Yeah, I'm sorry. We do the long version on Saturdays from 10 to 1. Yeah, I like the sound of that, too. All right. You can participate, 504-260-0995. Download the Winning at Life app. Yeah, it's a free app. Go down to your app store. It's not far. Your fingers can do the walking.
Heard that somewhere.
You hadn't heard that in a while, huh?
Where have I heard that?
Okay. Hey, we had a text in the last segment. I was talking about you've had a late start. You're wanting to save money. And the question was, well, how much do I need to save? Well, when do I start? I'm going to give you answer to both, and it's going to be easy to remember. When you're trying to make, look, if you're trying to make up ground, starting late, or you're starting much earlier than late. Let's say late is 50, hypothetically, but you're 25 and asking that question. How much do I save? As much as you can. You're never going to save enough. Well, when do I start? Yesterday is when you should think about it. So since you didn't start yesterday, start today, right now. Make a contribution to yourself.
That's pretty easy text there. Thank you for whoever filled that out on the app. On Saturday's show that Gregory mentioned, we started the 10 things that can go wrong when inheriting an IRA. We finished it up on yesterday's show. But I'm going to go back and revisit a call from a nice lady up in Brandon, Mississippi. Her name is Dell. And she thought, man, this little segment, Inherit an IRA, this really speaks to me. I'm in a situation right now. So she called Gregory. Dale, Brandon, Mississippi, you're on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Dale?
Hello, Gregory. Thanks for taking my call. I just have a question regarding an inherited IRA annuity from my mom who passed last July. And she had been taking out the RMDs for several years. She was 91 when she passed. And when the SSA notified Lincoln, who was the holder of the annuity, of her passing, they just stopped the RMDs. And that was unknown to me because I really, you know, I knew she had the annuity, but I didn't know details of it and, you know, things concerning RMDs. So now I'm told that... Well, they took them out through August, I think, of 17. And now I'm told that the RMDs for the remainder of the year had not been taken. So I will have to do that, plus there'll be a penalty, a 50% penalty. And you had mentioned earlier about an IRS form, I think it was 5329, to request a waiver.
5329, yes. Yes. Here is... And it comes into number 10 that we were going to talk about when I answer this is, yeah, you've got to go through that process, ask for a waiver. But see, the owner and the beneficiary that becomes the owner is responsible. So you could have the firm make mistakes. And this sometimes when you're dealing with somebody long distance and such, and if they're not a fiduciary as well as understanding how all this works, mistakes can happen, and you now own the mistake. So in the sense, meaning you're the one penalized if there's going to be a penalty there. So just, and that's one reason we're doing this, so you are aware of the rules.
I know, right. Really.
Yeah. My mom couldn't, of course, have stopped the RMDs, and I didn't know about it, so I couldn't. And I just thought the penalty was unfair. I haven't, you know, done anything to claim it yet, but in the process.
That's part of the problem right there, though, Dell, is that you did not do the process of retitling the account. And you're going to need to do that and get all this cleaned up.
before it gets worse. But yeah, once, you know, you have to get about retitling this stuff and moving this money, because problems come up, because IRS does have rules that say you have to do this, you have to do this, and you have to do this by that date. And that's the first process to, let's get that started, Dale.
Thank you very much for your call, Dale. Appreciate it. All right, so that's a tough one there, because it's not even her fault. The company stopped the RMDs when her mom passed away, and because she didn't know to go check back up on it, it sounded like they were in a situation, instead of taking it as a big lump sum, they were taking it monthly. And she got caught up in that last little quarter of the year where there was no RMDs taken. She's now on the hook for that, and that's going to have to come out of her cash. We had another great call on inheriting IRAs where Robert over in Jackson, Mississippi, asked Gregory about his options. Robert, we're going to Jackson. You're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can I help you, sir?
Okay. You were thinking about IRAs. I have a friend of mine that, of course, passed, and the beneficiary is his mother, and she's 90. I'm going here, well, next week, and speak to a CPA about the situation. But what are the options in here? What can happen now?
Okay. So the beneficiary is 90. What's her relationship to the owner of the IRA?
His mother.
Okay. So his mother
is
left
the beneficiary.
His mother is the beneficiary.
Right.
Okay. So that's an inherited IRA. That's a non-spouse beneficiary, but that accounts does have to go over to her because she's the beneficiary. Now, she could basically, and I'm not using the right term here, but she could waive it and not say, no, I don't want to inherit it. Then it would pass on to the successor or contingent beneficiaries in that case. But otherwise, if she takes ownership of that, she needs to name successor beneficiaries.
I see. Okay. Well, if she takes ownership, I mean, with her being 90, I mean, what will she have to take anything out of it?
She will have to take required minimum distributions year after death. So when did the owner die? This year?
Yes. Uh-huh,
okay.
March.
Okay. So how old was the owner?
67.
Okay, so there's no required minimum distributions due this year because the owner was not 70 and a half or older. But anybody that inherits a non-spouse beneficiary, so that's going to be an inherited IRA that she has. So next year, she's going to have to take a required minimum distribution.
I see. Okay, but you're saying the best thing to do, though, is for her to name a successor?
She's inheriting it. She's inheriting an IRA. So in that process of properly titling it, it's got to name the deceased name, and then for the benefit of her, and while that paperwork's being done, she needs to name the, for when she moves on, who's going to be the beneficiaries, and they need to be by name, because if there's not anybody named, it's going to her estate, which is a taxable event.
Okay. Well, if it happens, what is, like, if we wanted to just take it out, what is the tax?
It'll be at her tax bracket.
And her whatever. Tax bracket?
Yes. And, yeah, okay. All the money could be taken out. It's a taxable event at that point.
Okay. I kind of wondered about that because there's several things involved in it that, his estate is not very much but needs to be paid, and that'll be about all the money there's going to be. So,
this isn't handled by the estate. She's the beneficiary. It's her money. It's not the estate. You can be the trustee and in charge of the estate and whatever. It's her money. So it's, does she want to cash it? You may want her to.
Yeah,
that's a discussion. But this is what she wants to do with it.
This doesn't have to be used to resolve the debts of the estate?
It does not. This is her money. It moves directly to her. This is not an estate issue. Live event coming up July 10th. Gregory Ricks Live. We're doing a wine, wisdom, and food event. You're going to get to taste some great wine. You're going to walk in the door. They're going to give you a glass of sparkling just kind of just to create a little excitement in your mouth, knowing that you're at the right place. Then you're going to have white linen table. There's going to be a wine, white wine, maybe, let's see, Cabernet Sauvignon, Sauvignon Blanc. Yeah, a nice breakfast-like wine, too, but to go with your salad. And yes, this is in the evening because it starts at 6:30. You have to RSVP. We're going to talk about money, give you some tips on the new tax world that we're in, building multiple streams of income, how to create tax efficiency, and we're going to give you tips that you can go and use right away. You need to call my office, 504-832-9200. Remember, we're going to charge you $10, but I'm going to match it, and we're going to give it away to charity. You're going to learn a lot of stuff, have some fun, bring a friend, bring your spouse. 504-832-9200, GregoryRicks.com.
Visit WinningItLife.com. Download the Winning It Life app. I'm James Parker. We're Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.